Do y'all realize how long Rito made me wait to start the post-game show? I want to start this thing with like 8.5
Yo,
minutes left.
Like, Glenn was like ready to start like when I walked in the door.
Like,
okay,
let's go. I'm glad you're here. Like, let's go. It's a 3-score game. It's over. She's all like, no, we got to wait a little bit because they could score. I'm like, no. Let's do it already. God.
All right. Well, J.K. Dobbins just scored. I'm ready to start the show.
Over. It's over.
I'm ready to start the show now.
Over. The Ravens win. A long national nightmare is over. They'll improve to 7-5 by beating the Cowboys tonight. Hi. It's the Project Game Day postgame show. I'm Glenn Clark. She's the NFL chick, Sarita Hubbard.
Yeah.
We're in the Chesapeake Employers Insurance Studio press box. I would say all's right in the world, but I know that's not the case. I know that plenty of you will still have plenty of things that you are feeling away about.
Yes.
I'm not even really going to try to argue with all of them. Like, some of them I'm going to scream at. Y'all, KZ is leading the charge. The people that just want, like, Mark Ingram to die, the people that think that Mark Ingram should not be legally allowed to be on a football field, I don't know what... Like, this bit we're doing, we're trying to pretend like Mark Ingram is terrible at football.
No, he's
is
not.
Is a real weird bit. I get we're excited about J.K. Dobbins. I understand that.
You do realize he's the third best running back on this team at this point, right? Like, that's really what it boils down to now.
Probably the third best running back. But the only reason I don't think it's as black and white as that.
Well, I don't know if he's fully healed from the ankle injury.
Right.
We don't know that. So there's that part of it.
I guess what I'm saying more is that, like, I don't think that someone being the best running back on a team just means that they get all of the work. Like, I do think it's more complicated than we're trying to make it out to be. I get it. We all want to use cute things like, you got to let him get going, and you got to let him get into the rhythm of the game, and we say things along those lines. I don't think they always mean as much when we actually look at statistics and do a deep dive as those buzzwords seem to think that they mean.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just don't think that it's necessary that someone has to get every carry of a game. I think at some point that can actually hurt you in certain circumstances. I think there are circumstances where you want to have somebody else on the field and have a team not know what to expect.
Absolutely.
In certain
yes,
spots.
Yes, I agree with
I'm
that.
Just not going to get on board with the idea. Mark Ingram, I think the Ravens are doing the right thing. They're giving the bulk of the work to J.K. Dobbins.
Because he deserves it.
Right.
At
He's the most dynamic of these players. There has been some concerns about J.K. Dobbins as a blocker.
Yes.
Not like Kenneth Dixon, not like this man's going to get somebody killed on the football field, but there have been some concerns about J.K. Dobbins as a blocker, and so I understand why maybe it has not happened as rapidly as some people would have liked, because we've all seen just how dynamic J.K. Dobbins is. We've seen it going back to Ohio State. There was a reason we were all super excited about the idea of the Ravens being able to get J.K. Dobbins in the second round when we argued he might have been a first-round type of talent.
Yes.
So I get it. I think that they are shifting in that way, but I think that our obsession with like fantasy football is leading us away from reality. They're giving J.K. Dobbins the work. He's getting the work. Stop freaking out that Mark Ingram gets an occasional...
Right. Your point is like, okay, so they do throw Mark Ingram some bones, and why are you complaining when right now he's not even getting the majority of the carries?
And it's not like he's fine. Like, he's fine. This notion that like every time he's on the field... One, he's not at risk of fumbling the football. Two, he's not getting stopped behind the line of scrimmage. He's been fine. He hasn't been outstanding. He hasn't been overwhelming. And his style of play might not be suited best for, like, he's more of a grinder probably than he is a home run hitter. So I get that, like, the argument is that Mark Ingram is probably best when he's in a 20-carry type of role, because he's the type that needs to feel things out a little bit more. But I'm not going to lose my mind that Mark Ingram is getting the ball every now and then. Like, we are nitpicking because we are obsessed with the idea that if you just... You know what the argument that I'll hear, Rita, is? You have so few offensive weapons at this point.
Yeah.
That J.K. Dobbins just needs to be on the field in some capacity, right? Like, so if he's not your running back, he's got to be out, split out. Well, you've got to have him on the field because you just don't have better options. And I kind of, it's sort of the Dez Bryant argument that was made for a few weeks. I don't think he's any good, but I get what you guys are saying. None of these other guys are any good either, so why don't you stick him out there and see if he can't be something? That's the best argument I can make for J.K. Dobbins is, you don't have any other options, get him on the field as
right.
much as you possibly can.
Yeah.
I think we're trying to make it too simplistic. I'm happy that the Ravens seem to have identified that J.K. Dobbins is the guy that deserves the bulk of the work at this point and is getting the bulk of the work. I don't think it's the end of the world that other guys get into the mix every now and then too.
I agree with that. And you've seen Justice Hill come in and get some penalties as a result. But
I mean, I don't think Justice. I think if you want to make an argument for somebody that doesn't deserve any work,
I'd argue that more than Mark Ingram.
Yes.
And I think that Mark Ingram does have a value for this team. I think that maybe in maybe second and five and shorter, I'd put him in some situations because I do think that he's good with getting the short yards. I don't have a problem with Ingram being in because, like you said, I don't think he's the guy anymore. I think that it's obvious that J.K. and Gus are the guys that are going to get the bulk of the carries, and that they'll mix Mark Ingram in, you know, when they see fit.
By the way, he ran for 5 yards a carry tonight.
Who, Mark Ingram?
Yeah.
I'm not trying to suggest that's a good problem to have for this football team because you have so many guys that are really good at running the football, and the one that you might consider to be the weakest link, and I'm not even talking about Justice Hill because I don't even think a lot of us acknowledge Justice Hill, is that that guy can still average good yards per game when he's in the football game. So it's a good problem to have, but I don't think he's detrimental to what this football team is doing. If that was the case, then I think we'd have more of a problem. And on the opposite, and let me use this as an example for the opposite side. I think that you'll find a lot of people that think that Pollard deserves more carries than Zeke because he's been more effective the past
this
few
season,
weeks.
Sure.
But, you know, politics say that Zeke has to play more. He has to get more of the ball because he's getting paid more money.
Yeah.
So it's not the Dallas situation where one running back is clearly outplaying the other,
but not getting
the work.
J.K. Dobbins is getting the work. He's getting the most work of the guys at this point. I'm fine with that. I'm okay with it. I don't think you're going to have to come up with the example of a team that's much better suited to not let any of their other running backs touch the ball. I just don't know who that team is. It's very rare. Maybe Tennessee, right? Like if you're playing the game that you're supposed to be playing, you're better off if Derrick Henry's the only guy that touches the ball.
Yep.
Of course, once you fall behind, that's not really an option anymore because he's not that player.
Yep.
I don't think that those teams exist where you're best suited to have one guy on the field. Occasionally, other guys get on the field. And they're fine. So that was one that was weird to me tonight as far as complaints go. We'll get to your comments here in a second. I appreciate those of you that are checking in already. Rita, you pointed out that Lamar Jackson didn't have a great night tonight.
He did not. And as big as a fan as I am, I'm going to call him out when I see fit. And today was one of those days. He did not play well today. The couple of times that he did connect, obviously, were for touchdowns. And so, you know, it's not like it was a complete waste. But he had a lot of moments where he missed some opportunities.
Here's the weird thing for me tonight, Rita, is you know what I liked? What I liked from Lamar tonight was the willingness to take off.
Yes.
I thought
that he hasn't really done this season.
I had thought that had been a seriously missing from his game.
You've always
throughout
said
the course
that.
Of the season.
Yep.
I cannot live in fear of what might happen to Lamar Jackson when he runs. He's too good at doing it. You're neutering yourself by not doing it. It's purposely taking the best weapon that you have and saying, yeah, but something might go wrong, so we can't use that.
Yep.
It's insane. Lamar Jackson, this team is much better when Lamar Jackson is running the football.
I agree.
And not just specifically design runs or RPOs. I'm talking about plays in which they're design pass plays. He looks and he says, nah, I'm going to run it instead. He's great in those situations. When Lamar Jackson has open field to work with, he is breathtaking. He's spectacular in those situations. Look, the design run on fourth down was great. He ran for a touchdown. That was an excellently, tremendously executed play. But just the times where he's in the pocket, he looks, it's not there, and says, right, I'm Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
I'm one of one. I can do something that nobody else can do. That's a good thing for this football team, and it had been missing significantly.
Yeah.
I'm with you. Throwing the ball, he wasn't great tonight.
Was not.
He didn't do awful things
necessarily. And I don't even want to say that. He had some throws that I think you and I both agreed on. We agreed that the – the Hollywood, the interception that went to, excuse me, Mr. Brown, because you know I'm...
right, you're out of Hollywood,
I don't care about that
right.
touchdown
yeah.
today.
Yeah.
He's still got to earn it
that
back
That was
to
his
me.
Best play he might has, maybe has made as a Raven, frankly, by the way.
No, that fourth, that third down last year in the Cardinals game, it will go down until he does
something
better.
All right, yeah, there was that.
Or maybe the catch in the playoff loss to the Titans.
Right. It's his best play in some time.
In 2020.
Yeah, for sure.
And this
sure.
is week, what, 12? That was his best 13. Play. 13. Okay, that was
game 12, though.
That was his best play. And... So that was just a dime that he threw to Mr. Brown. Now the situation that he, in terms of him throwing to Boykin, which you know, that was a little high. Wasn't a bad pass, but wasn't a good one because he has, for whatever reason, his passes sail and they stay high. And I don't know what that's about. And I hope that in the off season he finds a way to fix it, because I don't think that this is a fixable thing in, like, next week. But luckily, you know, Miles Boykin is a big guy, was able to pull it down and score. Outside of that, though, like, he had some struggles. I think right before the touchdown,
so the,
two plays prior to the touchdown, he had another pass to Mr. Brown where he did an RPO and he waited and he tried to wait for Brown to get open, and he threw the ball 1 second late. Do you recall that?
I vaguely remember that.
The next
play,
is a third down, and he gets the first down.
That was the only his second incomplete pass of the. Was that when?
Nah, this is in the second half.
Oh, that. Oh, and that touchdown. Okay, yeah. I do know what you're talking about. Yeah. Yes. Sorry.
So he does an RPO type of play. It's play action. He tries to get it to Brown. He throws it a second late, really, and it doesn't get to Brown. It's and it's low. It's real low. It's just a poor thrown pass by Lamar and. You know, I want to say this
and
is
it was
rust.
There. And there was it was there.
It was there.
Yep.
You know, missing Miles Boykin in the back of the end zone, in the fourth quarter. You listen.
That was a broken play. That was, and look, he still has to make the throw. I'm not
he
trying
to
absolve
him. He has
to
make the throw. That's all I'm saying.
Correct.
He has to make the throw. I just want him to, hopefully he looks at this film and says, okay, yeah, this was kind of stinky and I got lucky because we played the Cowboys and I just have to do better. And yes, I know that they haven't practiced. I realize that they haven't. He's been sick, obviously. He had COVID.
Yep.
So he hasn't really had some reps. But some of these things are things we've been seeing all season long. Now, we do realize that he doesn't have two of his best players with Snead and with Andrews.
Yep.
So he had to make do what it do. I'm still not going to make any excuses.
And I hope, by the way, because I there's a weird feeling I have. You're not wrong in anything you're saying. But yet, I come away from the night encouraged about Lamar Jackson.
You should.
Because I don't think this team can win.
Without him doing what he did today.
Exactly
I
right.
I get that.
Like, that the only blueprint to them doing anything of significance is if he's running as much as he was running tonight.
I get that.
That's all they've got. And I worry that, like, next week, you know, Mark Andrews hopefully comes back, Willie Snead hopefully comes back, and suddenly they say, all right, we got the guys back. We don't need to worry about Lamar running nearly this much. We're going to say again, Lamar, stop. It's not okay. Like, that has to be a part of the offense for this team, no matter who's out there. They're not – they're so-so without Lamar Jackson being a dynamic runner. They're a so-so offense. They're not built to be a great offense. They're a so-so – if they're running the ball well, they can be pretty good. But with Lamar Jackson as a dynamic runner, they can be a good to exceptional offense. We know that. We know this.
My problem, though, Glenn, though, is that I do believe in the offseason teams realize that they have to force Lamar to run inside. And then, obviously, by doing that, they're going to punish him. So the outside is not there for him anymore. And I think that that's where my concerns lie, because if you want him to run in between the tackles, well, now you have there's an opportunity for somebody to say, I'm gonna blow this dude out.
I agree. I think specifically on broken plays, I still trust Lamar's ability to know when to get down, to know when the play's over. It's just not there.
Yep.
Like, I'm still a believer in what he's capable of doing on those types of the broken plays specifically, or the ones where he's got some protection, where he's got time, and the field is just opening up because the receivers are all.
Yes,
you know,
I'm cool with
those
that.
Those are the types of plays. I think that alone is the biggest difference that I saw tonight from the Ravens early in the season. Is on those plays, he was far more willing to say, I don't have to wait in the pocket and let somebody come open that just might never come open because we just don't have those guys. I'm Lamar Jackson.
Right.
I should take off. It's a good thing for my team when Lamar Jackson has the ball in his hands.
And there's two reasons why that probably played really well for him tonight. One, the fact that he was sick, and the fact that he only had a couple of days of practice.
In a way, like, you sort of revert back to, like, intrinsically who you are in those moments, right?
Right, right. Like, so it's like, all right, I'm not really able to kind of get these reps in with these guys, and these are not all my guys, right? So... it might make.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? If he might have met Luke Wilson 2 days ago.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Because when Luke Wilson was signed, he was on the COVID list. So there's that part. And then the part that the Dallas defense is last in run defense.
Absolutely.
So it allowed him to be that guy because they can't do anything about it because they're not good on that end of the football anyway. So I think that those two things allowed him to be old Lamar. I don't know if that's something we'll see going down the line, because I, like I said to you some few weeks earlier, I do believe that either him
or them,
somebody believes that he should be trying to throw the football more. So I agree with you that when plays break down, maybe you should, at that point, hey, I'm Lamar Jackson, I can make things happen. But I also understand that they want him to try to develop into a guy that can wait for guys to get open. And I don't know if you can have it both ways, because with, like you said, what made him so special last year was the ability to do that when things weren't available.
Correct.
So it'll be interesting to see how this goes.
I think if
down
you
the
built
road.
A team to do that and you would try to do that coming into the season, that's a whole different thing. You are who you are at this point.
Yeah.
Like they're not going to be all that good without Lamar Jackson as a dynamic runner. He was dynamic tonight. That was great to see. Hey, M&T Bank is giving you the chance to show off your fandom in your Ravens swag and test your Ravens trivia knowledge in the M&T Bank Hunt for Purple scavenger hunt. Visit huntforpurple.com for the opportunity to win some awesome prizes. All right, to the comments we go. This is the Project Game Day postgame show from the Chesapeake Employers Insurance Studio. KZ, I love you guys. Survive in advance. Dobbins scored. Rejoice. It's late nighty night. LOL. And then he follows it up. The offense just works better with Gus and JK, period. They break more tackles. Ingram is the third best running back. And he got the third most carries. Like, this is the... We're talking about, I agree, of the three right now, I think he has the third most to offer.
Right.
But I don't think that's nothing. And when you say, like, he can't be on the field, it's because he has nothing. I think he has something to offer. Maybe not quite as much as the other guys. And so I'm good with the idea that the other guys get more work. I like that. I think that's the way this is supposed to work.
Mm-hmm.
I think it worked.
I agree.
From T-Bone, the Ravens just hung a 34 on the Cowboys. What is everybody worried about? I mean, if I told you 3.5 hours ago the Ravens were going to beat Dallas by 3 scores easily, everybody would say, of course they would. I mean, I think a lot of people were confident coming into this game, but just because the Cowboys are terrible.
Yeah, I think the Cowboys on defense aren't good.
I think we needed to see the Ravens just kind of remind us they're still the Ravens. Like, get some guys back onto the field, look representative again.
I agree.
They didn't look like world beaters. The bit where everybody wants to keep saying, hey, against a better team, they might have been in trouble tonight. They might have been. They might very well have been
in trouble.
Luckily
for them, they didn't play.
Correct.
But you know what? The better team, they played against a better team, well, by record, last week. And did you say the same? Literally said the same thing. I'm sure you probably said if Lamar played, this was potentially a different ball game. So, you know, the NFL is just weird like that anyway.
Do they need to be better next week against the Cleveland Browns? Yeah, they need to be better.
Absolutely.
100%.
Particularly when you see what the Browns did to the Titans on Sunday. But ultimately, this is a week-to-week league, and only certain teams consistently play at high levels. Even the Chiefs had problems with the Broncos on Sunday night. That's just how it goes. So it is what it is. I want to, before you get to your next comment, there's some, Sarah Ellison tweeted something, and it reminded me of something what you
Sarah,
said.
Sarah, who used to work for the Ravens.
Used to work, does she still not?
No, she moved. I don't mean,
well,
like,
I
she
mean,
still has some sort of association.
She's like some type of influencer.
Yeah,
for
right?
Them or something.
No doubt.
She's still real... Ravens-y.
I like Sarah, though.
I love Sarah. No, I just thought she still worked there. That's the only
thing. No, she moved. Like,
you was like, used to. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, she moved. I know she did like a podcast for them.
She does a podcast. I don't know if it's for them directly. I don't know if it's Ravens, but she does a Ravens podcast. I'm confused.
Right.
Anyway, Sarah says, Lamar Jackson looked like he was having fun for the first time in a long time. Sometimes when you lose what you love, potentially running, it helps you hit the reset button. And I think
and she might also be alluding to just not being able to play because of COVID. You know what I mean?
Yes,
like that you're losing what
right.
you love.
And so, but also him being in the element of running the ball, like you said, that we haven't really seen him do a ton this season. did make him look a little bit more like he was enjoying himself as opposed to
Rita,
his past.
I've always thought this was a tricky conversation to have, because if you say Lamar needs to run more, there's somebody who wants to say what you don't think he can throw. And that's not what you're saying. What I'm saying is Lamar is one of one when he's doing this.
Yep.
When he is a dynamic runner, there is no one that is as dynamic as that also has the ability to throw the football well. He can throw the ball well. Why you would try to make him something else? Why you would ever say, but we'd rather him be this other thing? It's not a question to me of whether or not he's capable of being that other thing. Maybe there will be a day where Lamar Jackson should be throwing the ball 50 times a game. I have no idea.
We've seen that already, remember? Last year in the playoffs. I am good on that, baby.
I don't need that. This other thing is unbelievable. This other thing is one of one. I mean, Kyler Murray's comparable, but like not there. He's one of one. Why wouldn't you just want him to be that thing, that guy? Why would you ever want him to be anything else? Be this guy. Because you're incredible at it. Because no one has ever been this good at doing this thing. Why would you mess with that? He's going to get hit.
Well, if you're
going to
mess with it, give him guys. That's going to put him in position to win.
I mean, start with that.
So, I'm not mad at evolution. I think it's inevitable for anybody.
I'm not mad at evolution, Rita, but I guess why?
My problem is that you ain't give him the tools to do that.
That's true. No question that's true. But why are you trying to evolve from damn near perfection? What about unanimous MVP season?
You're right.
Most spectacular offense of all
time.
Made you say to yourself, boy, we got to do something different. That's just not – it's insane.
Got to do something
different
and subtract it at the same time. You wanted to do something different and then subtract it.
Correct. And you were worse.
You lost, guys.
No doubt. No, and it's a second layer to it. I'll never understand people looking at what Lamar Jackson did a year ago and somehow suggesting it was a problem. We keep hearing from people, you can't do that forever. No one's ever been able to do that forever. I'm not talking about doing it for forever.
You're saying just in the interim, while it still works,
do it. Right now, do it. What are we doing here?
Well, don't run on the outside no more. I'm just telling you, Glenn, we got to stop that. Stop running, trying to sweep him to the outside, because the defenses know what that they're doing. Give it to J.K. Dobbins now. They're not letting Lamar do it anymore. Let Lamar, if the situation is open in the middle of the field,
let him take the middle of the field.
Stop making him try to run outside on design plays, because everybody knows what they're doing, and he's not getting outside.
Admitting that you're right about him not being great passing the ball tonight. And somebody else brought it up. Scott said, I'm so glad we run one. Running backs killed it, but in the long run, 17 passes and 107 yards is not going to cut it in a modern NFL. Lamar looked rusty, but that pass to Hollywood in the corner end zone was great.
Yeah.
It was tremendous. But let me go back to this first thing, though. 17 passes, 107 yards is not going to cut it in a modern NFL. Maybe you're right. Maybe ultimately you do need to be able to slug it out more. Do you think this team is built to do that?
Right. This team right now.
Or does this team need to do what they did tonight in order to win games against better teams?
Yeah.
This is the blueprint. Run the ball, including with your quarterback. Run the ball. That's how this team's going to be good. When you say that, this is not me taking shots at Lamar Jackson or saying he's not good enough. I'm saying he's so good at this. He's so good at it. Why are you doing anything other than that?
Ask Greg Roman. I would like to know.
Imagine someone being I try to come up with a comparable for this, Rita. Imagine someone being you're sort of a baseball fan, right?
Yes, I'm an Orioles fan.
Imagine someone saying Tony Gwynn was a hit machine.
I obviously know who Tony Gwynn is.
Tony Gwynn was a singles hitter. He was a hit machine, and somebody saying, "God, I know he's hitting damn near 400, but he's just not a power hitter. So we got to tell him to go back and completely change everything about himself this offseason and just swing for the fences, because, you know, this just isn't going to cut it in modern baseball. This is nuts.
Yeah.
This is nuts that we're trying to – we attempted to fix a problem that didn't exist.
Yes, and I agree with you to the fact – okay, his point is his point, right? We can debate it or we can say to some extent he has a point. But what were you expecting them to do against the worst run defense in the National Football League?
I agree.
Had they gone out there and started passing, I would have been malpractice,
no question.
Because the one thing that we've heard that they do not do good at, you don't exploit, you're an idiot. And that would have pissed me off.
I agree.
So, okay, fine. But maybe let's not have that conversation today. Because what you did was you played against the weakness of that other team and it worked in your favor.
And that's true. But it's also, I still think your strength. I think it's both things, Reed. I don't think your strength is going to be.
Well, clearly your strength is not passing on this team.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think that, not between now and the end of the season, I don't think you're magically turning into a team that's better suited to throw the ball 30 times. I just don't think that's happening. But you should be. Obviously, it's still disappointing that you don't have, you know, Marshall Yanda on the field. I would prefer to have Ronnie Stanley on the field. You should still be fairly well suited to be a good running football team, including your quarterback. Not just your running backs, who I like, also your quarterback to be a good running football team.
Yep.
It feels as though that's what you should have been all season long.
Yep.
If you find it now and it starts clicking and it works, it ain't too late yet. You can still run the table. You can still win your games. You can still get in, make a run.
Yep.
But I don't think you should be doing something else for the sake of doing it.
I agree.
Scott followed up to say, my original post wasn't a criticism of Lamar, but the team we all love and have watched for 25 years. I think that when we bring up numbers like throwing the ball 17 times for 107 yards, we have visions of I think we need to be more fair about what the quarterback did and consider throwing in the fact that he also ran for damn near 100 yards as well when we talk about what it is that you did in the past. I think, the quarterback running the football is comparable to what other teams would be doing in their past games.
I agree with that. I agree. And yes, all right, fine. Over 25 years, we've had these struggles, and the struggles have been the same from an offensive standpoint. As of right now, that hasn't really changed. Although in the draft they do get guys, those guys still aren't the guy that these quarterbacks have needed over the 25 years.
Correct.
Fine. I don't think that that's what's happening right in terms of this game. I'm just talking about this game. I don't think that had an effect on today's game because you were playing a weaker opponent.
But in solving their ability to beat the Cleveland Browns next week, right? I don't think, I could be wrong, I don't think they're going to be well suited. The Ravens defense is fine. I'm not a believer that the Ravens defense is just going to be able to shut down the Browns because they
want
to.
And Calais Campbell didn't look 100% out there.
No question.
And so
hopefully you get Judon back next week, and you can finally see Matt Judon and Yannick Ngakoue on the field.
Yep.
That thing that we thought was really going to work, we just really haven't had the opportunity to see it.
Yeah,
be really nice if at some point you could see a game with both Matt Judon and Yannick Ngakoue on the field together. Maybe there was one in there that I'm forgetting about. They were both on the field at some point. But for various reasons, Matt Judon getting ejected in the first game, then all we just haven't seen much of it. Hopefully you get him back next week, and the pass rush is better than it was tonight. It was largely non-existent tonight, although the Jihad Ward did come up with one big sack in the second half. But I don't think your best path to victory is going to be to try to slug it out with the Browns and score 35 points and throw the ball 45 times next week. I think your best path to victory is control possession, ask less from your defense because they have the ball less, and try to win the game the way the 2019 Ravens won games. And I get it. They're not the 2019 Ravens. They don't have three tight ends. They don't have Marshall Yanda. They don't have Ronnie Stanley. But they're still better suited to try to do those things than they are to try to beat the other team.
I agree.
That just doesn't work.
I agree with that. I mean, like you said, don't try to slug it out. Try to keep the ball away from the Cleveland offense.
Correct.
Keep your offense on the field as long as you can. And you know how you do that? You run the football.
Right. Including with your quarterback.
Now, Lamar does have to be better
with his touches,
with these passes to help move the chains. What I saw today was unacceptable. Hopefully, he'll have a full week. He won't have a full week because they play Monday night, but hopefully, he'll have more days of practice than he's had in the past few weeks, and hopefully things will happen. Who knows if Snead will be able to return or if Andrews will be able to return. Those will be big helps. But I agree with you. Keep them off the field. Cleveland, keep them off the field.
No doubt.
That is the way of winning that football game. And that is the one thing we have been consistent about for 25 years is time of possession.
That's what they do. When they do it well.
And when they do it well, they've won football games.
Correct.
That's literally the history of the Ravens.
We want to be more fun. We want to throw the ball.
Last
I'm all
year
for
was
it.
An anomaly. We have to erase, not necessarily erase, except it for what it was. It was a ride. We had a ball last year, but it's over. That is not going to happen this year, and who knows if it's going to happen next year. And until it does, you have to view 2019 as an anomaly. That is literally what you have to do until this organization puts things in place to show you that they're working on being more consistent to be that team than what they are now.
Project Game Day postgame show is also brought to you by the U.S. Army. From Jeff, I'm not worried about our offense for next week as long as we play turnover free. The Ravens really need to find a way to slow down the Browns' running game. You know, you hope that Calais Campbell is closer to 100% next week. You know, that's what they do, right? The Browns are at their best, clearly, with those two backs. They everything is built off of their ability to run. And you know, I'm not trying to say that to take away. Baker Mayfield looked tremendous the other day, but they are a better football team because they have those two dudes and they're able to run the ball and
build
everything
off of
that.
They also have a Jarvis Landry.
Yes, correct.
They also have an Njuko, right, which I love Mark Andrews, but Mark Andrews is now a one-man army, essentially, in the tight end department.
Essentially, correct.
So they have some guys. They have some really good skill players over there.
And Jeff, I guess what I would say is I am worried about the offense if they're asked to go score a ton of points. Like if they're asked to go do that, I'm going to be worried about this offense because how can I not?
Because now you're pushing it. Now you're force feeding it, and that could potentially be a turnover party.
Correct. Patricia, sorry, but we just beat a terrible defense. That's all the Ravens. That's all the Ravens still are not impressive.
That's fine. I mean, okay.
I mean, they still have. If you want to be fair about it and say for the totality of the season, what the Ravens have accomplished is they beat a Browns team earlier in the year that clearly was not as good as the Browns are currently, and they beat a Colts team that's good, but nobody thinks is a contender to do. Like, they haven't really beaten anybody. I don't think that's an unfair point that you would make.
I mean, I don't have an argument.
They have not beaten the best teams that have been on their schedule this season, right?
They did not look impressive. They did not look impressive.
But that's, you know, they can only beat the team that they played tonight. They beat them. They beat them fairly comfortably, yes.
Yeah,
correct.
Three scores. It is what it is.
And we'll judge next week by what happens next week.
Yep.
Not Rita, she's bailing on me. But KZ and I will judge what happens next week.
Oh, KZ will have a good old time,
if they
I'm
ask
sure.
Oh, my God. I think he actually was happy when he found out he was switching games to get that one. If they ask the bed next week against the Browns, I'll react to it accordingly. Like, I'll do that. This week, they got the job done against the Cowboys. I can't flip out the way that some of you all are. John Colson, so win 34-17, and comments are primarily complaints. John, you've been doing this long enough to know that's the
John.
If we ain't complaining, we ain't trying. That's the way
Absolutely.
That it works around here. Jonathan, who is the quarterback's coach? Seems Lamar is not progressing with his passes, underthrows, high passes, and that sidearm stuff. Do you agree?
I don't have a problem with the sidearms because, ironically, those be the ones that are accurate.
Some of them. There are times where the sidearms we brought, like there was the one out and he was throwing across his body to the left.
Well, yeah, Glennie's throwing across his body. I mean, I don't know what you want from that.
I would maybe step into that throw is what I would try to do.
I don't really want him to throw across his body. Period. I guess is my point.
While I hear you, what I would say is try to get yourself in a better stance than to throw the ball. And I can't remember which game it was that he bounced it, you know, 3 yards in front of the receiver when he's trying to throw out to the left side. I think if he's ever going to become a better passer outside the numbers, it's really hard to both be a sidearm quarterback and be a really good outside the numbers passer. I guess Matt Stafford is the one example of a guy that we've seen that has been fairly good both sidearm and outside the numbers, but like that's one of one, right? Matt Leiner was not. It's tough. It's tough to do that and throw it. Now, in the middle of the field, sure. I mean, like you can do that type of stuff.
Yeah.
And so I only get mad about it in situations where it's wildly unnecessary. Like you don't have to go to that. Why are we going to that right here? His ability to do it in some situations is a strength, right? Like that other guys don't have. As far as some of the other stuff, yeah, I mean, he sure, he's, and, some of his throws are flat out bad. There's no question.
And look, Glenn, like, also, I think that we continue to forget that we're in a pandemic. I think we continue to forget that because I, correct me if I'm wrong here, I don't think the league wanted guys getting together before training camp to practice because of COVID. I don't know how much he's been able to do in the off season. I know we do know that some guys did go down there in Florida.
Yeah, correct.
But they weren't really able to do things that maybe they could do in previous years.
A normal off season.
So I'm not really surprised that things haven't looked the best because I don't think he probably has had as many reps as he could have in the summertime or in the springtime. I mean, that's just kind of what I think happened
and
here.
To me, it's coupled with I also at times this season have been utterly puzzled by what it is they've wanted Lamar Jackson to do.
Well, that too,
right?
But like, I do think I think it's very hard to work on your craft when you got a whole pandemic going on. That's all I'm saying. It's like he probably does need work, and he probably acknowledged that, and that probably was on the plan. And then literally COVID happened, and for a minute things probably got paused for a minute. You know, things did shut down. I know you guys forgot, but things did shut down. Yep. So you know, maybe he wasn't able to fully get the reps with whoever his coach is the way he would have liked. I mean, that's the only thing I can really come up with because it is some things that's like, okay, what's happening here? I don't, these passes being high, you know, the pass in the Titans game to Mark Andrews reminded me of the pass to Boykin, but it obviously worked in Boykin's favor. This time he went up and got the ball and was able to score the touchdown, but he's done it too many times. And it does look like, you know, the lack of touches, just like he hasn't done it enough.
So I feel a couple of ways when we have these conversations, right? Like the first thing I say is, yes, it would be nice to have better players on the field with him, right? Like I start with that. Secondarily, you're not wrong in your criticism. There are just a lot of puzzling throws. But third, I have often wondered since this all started, if we didn't have to accept that was, it's going to be part of the Lamar Jackson experience. Not that you don't want it fixed or that you push to try to get it fixed. It's not that. It's that to some point that might kind of be part of who he is. There will be erratic throws.
Yes.
And that some of the trade-off for that is he also has a skill set that no one else can match. Brett Favre threw the ball to the other team a lot. A lot.
Yes,
he threw the ball to the other team. But you dealt with that because
he also threw touchdowns.
Exactly right. He would throw these breathtaking, you know, unbelievable rainbow passes down the field to Robert Brooks and Antonio Freeman, and you would say to yourself, my God, nobody else can do that. And so you'd live with the fact there are holes in his game. I can live with it if you understand this is what you've got in Lamar Jackson. Work around it.
I think
play to your strengths.
I agree with that. And
I still want him to improve, by the way.
And let me also add that Lamar is a kid that has always had high work ethic. That was the one thing that Bobby Petrino was very high on him for. He told him that he needed to work on things, and he did those things. Lamar is very, as hard as we probably are on Lamar, he's probably 10 times harder on himself. So I'm sure he's aware of those things, and I'm sure that he does what he needs to do to try to do better for those things. Hopefully, in 2021, he's allowed to have a full off season where he can work on some things and get better.
And hopefully he's got better players on the field with him somehow.
There's that part of it, too. You know, guys, he's in his third season. Like, I know we lose sight of that because of the anonymous MVP last year. And it feels like, oh, maybe he was ready to take the next step. But he's going to still have growing pains. And when the roster changes, it's very possible that it has an effect on his play as well.
Rita, I'm not directing this to you because you were sort of speaking for everybody. I giggle about the next step, right? Like what?
Well,
I don't know what the step is. Unanimous MVP of the league. What next step are
you
talking
about?
They
want him to be little baby Patrick Mahomes, I guess. But guess what? Patrick Mahomes is who he is. He's a special player. Lamar is a special player because Patrick Mahomes can't do certain things that Lamar can
do. I was cool. I was going to ride with more 2019 Lamar Jackson. I didn't need him to take another step.
I completely agree with you. I don't know what another step means for him if last year wasn't enough.
I would love for him to clean up like outside. I would love for that to be the next step. But I don't want to, if doing that means I'm getting less of the things that made Lamar Jackson unbelievably special, no. Do not trade off.
I agree.
This stuff, and I get that it doesn't really. What we really want is for it to be all of these things. We want him to be more perfect in every way. But like, I will live with that guy.
I agree.
From Brian, Mr. Radcliffe, my old high school math teacher, Mr. Radcliffe. Agree. Run the ball. Lamar should carry 15 times a game. Play to your strengths. Paul, this is the way that we've got to win until we get Lamar some serious weapons.
He's right. I don't really disagree with that.
Rita, I got to tell you, even if you get better weapons, right, I still don't know why you would purposely say, stop having Lamar run the ball. I'll never understand that world. This hypothetical he might get hurt thing that all of the math has said, you are at no more risk as a running quarterback than you are as a pocket passer. The more significant injuries happen to pocket passers that hang in the pocket to the last second trying to wait to see a receiver come open. We've got all of the data. Why are we still hung up on this? Let the man run.
I agree.
He's really good at it.
Just don't let him run outside, baby. I said what I said. Don't let him run outside. These outside sweeps ain't working no more. I don't want to see it no more. Give it to JK. Give it to JK and move forward. Because Lamar outside, they sniffing it out like a dog. Stop it.
I'm fine with that.
But everything else I'm good with, Glenn.
I'm talking specifically about
whoever is hearing us.
The drop back passing. The drop back pass plays.
I agree.
When it's there,
I'm talking to designed outside plays. Stop it.
Right.
I've had enough. Everybody knows what you're doing.
Right.
Stop.
I hear you. Project Game Day postgame also brought to you by Wise Markets. Quickly, Troy, that was an interesting game, Glenn and Rita, but we need to talk about the Miles Boykin signing tonight.
I'm
happy to see Miles Boykin make a play.
May
there be more of them in the future.
And I'm sure at some point when you and Glenn come in, Glenn will have a you and
Kyle.
Glenn.
Yeah,
you,
I'm Glenn.
Not
yeah.
you and Kyle.
Yeah.
No, KZ. Excuse
oh,
me.
Oh, right.
When you and KZ are here, KZ will have the opportunity to talk about, because I tweeted like, "Hello, Miles Boykin," and literally the series before the touchdown, I noticed that they were giving him a lot of cushion. And I was just like, I hope somebody like sees this. I'm going to be honest, Glenn. I don't pay a ton of attention to Miles Boykin because he's not necessarily in every play. So when he's in, sometimes I just don't recognize that he's in the game. But I had noticed that the Cowboys defender was literally giving him about 8 or 9 yards. And I was just like, okay, I hope somebody sees this and dials something up. And KZ made the comment like, no, he always gets that. It's a scheme. And I'm like, okay, because KZ loves hating on the scheme. I'm not mad because he does make some valid points. But luckily, in the next series, somebody saw the opportunity and they took advantage. So you do hope that Miles Boykin can get some. If they're going to play him off 8-9 yards.
Right. Yeah, there should be something there. I'm with you.
Slant something.
Right. Try something.
Something.
Take advantage
Drag
of it.
Drag them something.
I mean, they did that with Dez a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
That's exactly what they did. When they were playing that far off Dez, they looked and they said, all right, well, we'll take the 5 yards.
Yep.
You want to give us five free yards? That's a run play.
Hey.
Like, by all means.
Take it.
We'll take that.
Yep.
Let us have 5 yards all the way down the field.
So let Miles Boykin get his 5 yards
in. The Patriots won 6 Super Bowls out of being
literally
that boring
dink
ass.
Dink and dunk.
Correct. Whatever you want to give us. By all means.
Dink and dunk. That's all they cared about.
We will be the most boring, unimaginative team in the history of football to the tune of 6 Super Bowl titles. By all means, let's do that. And in a minute and a half right here, we'll come back in. We'll get you ready for Cleveland next week. Project Game Day postgame show from the Chesapeake Employers Insurance Studio.
Glory Days Grill. Fall, winter, seasonal menu is now available for dine-in, dine-out, on the patio, or to-go. It's a new season, so enjoy new flavors. Try their new shrimp appetizers, homemade meatloaf, impossible cheesesteaks, and more. They're open from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. every day. Visit GloryDaysGrill.com for a location near you. From the Glory Days Grill family, stay healthy and positive during this challenging time in our community.
Looking to get one up on the competition? Supercharge your computer skills. CCBC has classes at all levels from beginner to expert coder. Explore Microsoft Office, gaming, or even ethical hacker. Maybe hardware is your gig. Become A+ certified. All tuition free if you qualify. Call 443-840-4700 or visit ccbcmd.edu/quickreg.
With Wise Market's lowest price guarantee, we guarantee the lowest price in the area. If a local competitor advertises any of our tagged lowest price guarantee items at a lower price, we'll give you double the difference with purchase.
Eat better, spend less, that's Wise.
Calling all Ravens fans, are you always casually rocking purple no matter what day of the week it is? Are you a Ravens trivia master? Well, at M&T Bank, we're big fans of the Ravens flock, and our purple pride runs deep. That's why we're giving you the chance to show off your Ravens flock fandom and test your Ravens trivia knowledge in the M&T Bank Hunt for Purple Scavenger Hunt. Make sure you don't miss out. Visit huntforpurple.com for the opportunity to win some awesome prizes. That's the M&T Bank Hunt for Purple Scavenger Hunt, huntforpurple.com.
If you're looking to make an impact, there's no better place to do that than the U.S. Army. Whether your goal is to fight and cure deadly diseases, develop technologies, or seek adventures across the globe, the Army is where all of that can happen, and so much more. The Army is a team of a million individuals working together to take on the most complex problems in the nation and the world, and to win. Ask yourself, what's your warrior? Go to army.com/Baltimore to find out. To learn more, contact your local Army recruiter and find us on social media at U.S. Army Baltimore.
All right, back in here. Reed and I were doing a completely different show during the commercials. We were doing a different show. There will be weeks that we might be doing that show. So we're doing a different one. Ravens win. 34-17, they beat the Cowboys, they're 7-5. All right, Browns next week, Rita.
Ooh, ooh.
You're bailing on me.
Yes, thank God.
By the way, before the game, I need y'all to come to Looney's Perry Hall. I need y'all to post up Looney's Perry Hall, 6:30 to 8:30. Michael McCrary is going to be there. I need you to come out. I'll be there. Kyle's going to be there. Drew Forrester is going to be there. We're going to have a whole crew. We are collecting coats and clothes, men's, women's, kids, anything, gently used, something that you don't wear anymore, but somebody else who needs it could. Go to your closet, clean it out this week, please, and show up next Monday night, 6:30 to 8:30 at Looney's Perry Hall. Whatever you bring out, we will be happy to get it to the Helping Up Mission, people that really need it in our community. Michael McCrary will be happy to sign autographs for you. We'll do pictures. They got to be socially distanced. We got to do everything the right way. So, like, we
how do you take pictures in COVID?
It's tough. It's tough. It's the reality.
Though.
I mean, like, it's not all that different than going to, like, an autograph signing, right? And that's not my world, but people do this where, like, somebody's sitting over here and you're over there, like, handing them your stuff. And then you both turn and look for the picture. It's kind of going to be what it is.
Like, I'm literally, like, cheek to cheek with, like, most.
Right,
like
that's typically the way the pictures work. Yeah, that you get right on top of them.
Do you keep a mask on too? Like,
We're gonna do things safely.
Yes.
We're gonna do things the appropriate way next Monday night.
Maybe they could just take the picture of Mr. McCrary without themselves.
You can. Well, if you want to show people that you met Michael McCrary on Monday night, we will have a way to be able to make that happen.
Okay.
It's just not gonna. You're not gonna be able to hug.
No hugs. No touching.
No hugs. That's out. We're doing what we can do, man. It's 2020. This is where we are.
Yes.
So Michael McCrary, Monday night, 6:30, 8:30, Looney's Perry Hall. Please bring out your coats, bring out your clothes, anything, gloves, hats, whatever. People have asked me so many things. The answer is yes. I've had people drop off luggage. Yep, they can use it. I've had people drop.
I got some luggage I can give away.
Please, stuffed animals. Yeah, by all means. These people have kids that they need to be. The people we're talking about literally might not have the means to provide any sort of gift this holiday to their families.
Yeah.
If it's something that somebody else might want, sure, by all means. And again, like I if you got like furniture, I can't really help you on that. Like you gotta, you know, take it to Craigslist or something. But I'm talking about the type of stuff that, you know, I need clothes, I need all of it next Monday night, Looney's Perry Hall before the game. What's your feel for next Monday night?
I don't feel good about it. I mean, I think what I feel determines on who's playing. I think that if they can get Snead back and hopefully if they can get Andrews back, maybe this game can somehow swing in the Ravens' favor. I say that because divisional games are never easy. And I think that, we know that the Browns right now are the better football team. I don't think that that's debatable. But I still think that divisional games are weird to account for. I mean, we literally saw that last week with the Steelers game. You had a dozen and a half guys out and you covered. Not sure how that happened, right? But the only thing I can come up with that is that those two teams know each other very well.
The nature of the beast.
And that's just the nature of the beast. So you go into a divisional game against the Browns, who you do know very well. They are playing high football. But if you can get them into some situations where they make a few mistakes and you're able to continue to run the football well, and then you get some key guys that are back in, Judon, Snead, Andrews, I think you do have a possibility that you can come out with a win.
This is the one thing I keep coming back to. I talked about this on the show this morning, Rita. Like, this is the game of the century for the Browns.
No, week 17 for them is.
It could be. It might end up being that. But they hate, in Cleveland now, the Ravens probably more than they hate the Steelers.
I mean, they hate us because, obviously.
I don't blame them, frankly. This is their chance to clinch a playoff spot for the first time in an eternity.
And then do it against the Ravens.
And do it against the Ravens and essentially, not fully, but kind of put a dagger in the Ravens in the process.
Yeah, that's very
this
true.
This is the
that's
game of games. This is
for them.
Correct. I compared this when I was talking to Drew earlier. I said, I'm not telling you it's Ravens Colts 2006 because like nothing could ever be like that.
Why would you bring that
up? I know. It's the single lowest moment that I've ever felt as a Ravens fan.
Oh my God.
But it's as close as they can have. For a moribund franchise, the closest, remember what it felt like in this town the week leading up to that game. It was the most important sporting event the city had ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
It was everything. All that mattered was that game. And this was a franchise that already won a Super Bowl at that point.
So I hope you're claiming that the
I would like for the result to be the exact same. But my point being, all of that exists for the Browns. It might be better for them they can't have fans in the stands, right? Like, it might be better for them.
Ohio is not having fans?
I mean, they have some fans, yeah. But it's not the same. Like, that maybe you don't feel some of that same...
Wouldn't be surprised they snuck a couple more in.
They probably would
week.
Attempt to. You were probably right about that. Mm. But I still think that while they won a big game against a good opponent this week, this is a different thing.
For obvious reasons.
This is game... of games. This is everything.
And the last two times that they've played, the Ravens have handily beat them. So,
correct.
You know, if they beat the Ravens, and then, like you said, they clinch a playoff spot, and then they put the Ravens' season in jeopardy.
For example, as you brought up, if the Steelers were to lose to the Bills on Sunday night, which I think most of us think is very possible.
Absolutely, it's possible.
Then all of a sudden, you're talking about, if you, on top of everything we've already mentioned, now if you win this game, you're within one game of the Steelers in the division, and you still have a game against them on the schedule. Like, this becomes...
That's why I was thinking more so... I was thinking far ahead, but you're right.
Most important game they've ever had.
You're right.
It's everything for this franchise, and they've got to prove that they can handle that. So that's the one thing that's still... Like, I'm not saying they can't. We don't know, because they've never been in this spot before as a franchise. They would have to prove that.
What, you don't think so?
I mean, when?
What, 2012?
The Derek Anderson year? What are you talking? 2012? No,
we're talking about the Browns.
I'm talking about the Browns. Yeah,
okay,
I'm sorry. The Ravens. No.
That was 2007. Why would I say 2012?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to figure out. I'm trying to figure out when the last time the Browns had a game like this was.
Yeah,
and
I think
the answer is they haven't. Yeah, like, they haven't had this.
They haven't been this good ever since they've been back to Cleveland.
Not this. Not all of these scenarios. You can clinch the playoffs against the city that stole your football team. And kind of knock them out in the process.
Wow, just get the Super Bowl over with. One side of Super Bowl. Just get this one side, because we don't give a damn.
I understand, but that's my point. They have
that's
all
why
of that.
I said this one side of Super
they
Bowl.
They have to deal with all of that. All of that they have to deal with this week. They got to prove that they can win in those circumstances. So that's still just something that jumps out at me. Is the enormity of that for them is something that they've never been through before.
All I know is that the Browns was whooping on the Titans' ass at halftime at 31-7.
Well, they tried to blow it.
And then somehow I looked at the end of the final one of the score, and it was 41-20. I mean, 41-35.
They got real lucky that Adam Humphries dropped the football. There's no doubt.
Browns still going brown.
I'm kind of saying the same thing, Rita. I'm just trying to drag it out a little
bit. They are a better team, obviously. They found a way to finish the football game. I'm just making the point that you went from 31-7 to 41-35. I mean,
you're still the Browns.
You're still browning out there. Exactly.
Right. All right. At the NFL Chick on Twitter. That's how you follow her.
Yes. And at Gridiron Gals. Exactly. And I would like everybody to know that I picked the Washington football team to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers yesterday. It is on the podcast.
I picked them
on record.
I picked them to cover, but I did not pick a win.
I absolutely said this is the first loss that the Pittsburgh Steelers would have. And I'm just saying that because I do want you guys to listen.
Well done.
I said it.
You'll be back in 2 weeks.
I'll be back in 2 weeks.
Next Monday night. me, KZ,
yes,
with you for Project Game Day.
He's going to have a field day about Greg Roman. You can't wait.
There's so many things. There's so many things that we're going to. He wants to go to war about Chris Moore.
What about, like, Chris Moore? What about him? He's done.
I mean, like,
leave us alone, KZ.
All right, I don't want to talk about it. You and I didn't really even talk about the Dez Bryant thing. I talked about it a lot at halftime.
Look, man.
He sent out another tweet tonight saying he's not actually done.
Oh, he changed his mind?
He changed his mind, apparently.
Of course he did.
But I don't know.
And
man,
look, man, I be emotional too, man. I be in my feelings.
Exactly
but
what
let
I
me
said
tell y'all
halftime.
Something. I don't be tweeting my feelings out, okay? Because the streets don't be forgetting.
Yes, correct. They
you
remind
try,
you about
they
it.
Can try,
yes.
You can try to delete them tweets all yep. day, and then you be like, hey, y'all, I was just playing. And they're going to be like, is this you? Or yep. they'll pull a yep. this you
oh,
on you real
they'll,
quick.
They'll send it back to you a million times
with
over the course.
With the this you is yep. undefeated. So stop tweeting Who when was, you're
was
emotional.
It, was it Chase Claypool said something about?
He said losing. I don't know what that. Oh, guess who dug that tweet up?
Correct.
Yes, I did.
Correct.
Oh,
correct.
Yes, I did.
That's what we do. That's the way this works.
You can't be doing dunk all on. That till you win. Till you win it all, baby. Can't all right. do it all.
Rita, love you. Thank
love
you.
You too.
See you guys tomorrow morning for Glenn Clark Radio 10 to noon. This has been the Project Game Day Post Game Show. Ravens win.